So one of these nights, and about 12 o'clock, this over the Gonderdyland Rock. Saints, they all tremble and cry for pain, for the Lord's gonna come in his heaven airplane.
There are police chases, and then there's this one.
The first thing I thought was funny, cops chasing the donut truck.
Was it funny? Cameras were rolling as a Krispy Kreme delivery man brought in the first rack of donuts to this convenience store. Outside cams then captured another man hopping into the truck and taking off with the donuts. Folks inside couldn't believe it. They called 911, and the police then took off after the bandit.
Well, you know, especially if you're on a diet, hot Krispy Kremes are pretty irresistible.
Fresh donut, they're always good, right?
15 miles later, the officers finally caught up with the truck after the driver went down a dead-end street. He's under arrest. No word if he actually got to eat any of those donuts.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Injection, fellas.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into...
Sign from God. Just hours after the Pope announced his surprise resignation, the heavens over Rome opened and the top of St. Peter's Basilica was struck by lightning. As the sky was lit up by the huge bolt, it led to speculation as to whether Benedict XVI's boss was less than happy with the news. The apparent divine intervention came as the 85-year-old pontiff sent shockwaves through the church on Monday after announcing his retirement, the first pope to do so in 700 years, saying he no longer had the mental or physical strength to carry on.
I'm sorry if anyone here is Catholic. I'm not sorry if you're offended. I'm actually sorry just the fact that you're Catholic.
This is a reconstruction of a 2,000-year-old computer. The original battered pieces were found in a shipwreck more than a century ago, and Michael Wright, a museum curator from London, spent decades studying them in order to work out what the device was for.
This is my model of the Antikythera mechanism. The mechanism's a box full of gear wheels, driving indications on dials, one at the front and one at the back, which we'll look at in a moment. And it's all driven by working from the hand knob here. On the front dial, we've got two scales. The inner ring is the zodiac divided into degrees. The outer ring is an annual calendar scale, 365 days.
The device is a machine for predicting the motions of the heavens. When you turn the handle on the side, pointers move around the front dial, showing the movements of the sun, moon, and the five planets that the Greeks knew. The fastest pointer here is for the moon, going around the sky once a month. Inside, a sophisticated setup of wheels riding around on other wheels models the varying motions of the planets, according to the Greeks' astronomical theories.
Now we'll look at the back. We've got two sets of two displays together here. The upper one is basically a calendar. The spiral scale is divided into months, each of which is named, and this is a cycle of 235 months, which fit into 19 years. These are months measured by the moon.
An extendable pointer with a little needle on the end tracks the spiral groove, just like the stylus on a record player. When it gets to the end, you can lift the pointer up to reset it. One of the little dials just inside the spiral shows the dates of the ancient Greek games, including the Olympics, on a 4-year cycle, while the other tracks a much longer 76-year cycle.
The lower display is giving the times at which there may be eclipses. Again, it's graduated into months, and the markings are just in those months in which we expect there to be an eclipse either of the moon or of the sun or of both.
Inside the mechanism, you can see the gear trains that drive the pointers on the back dial. This shot also reveals that this model was made of recycled metal plates, just like the original would have been. This is the first model of the Antikythera mechanism to incorporate all of its known features. Thanks to Michael Wright, it's working again for the first time in 2,000 years.
At last, after 2,000 years of work, the Illudium Pu-36 Explosive Space Modulator. Where's the kaboom? There was supposed to be an earth-shattering kaboom!
The Russian Interior Ministry says more than 250 people have been hurt after a meteor shower caused a series of explosions over western Russia. Shockwaves blew out windows in the city of Chelyabinsk in the Ural Mountains, and there are reports that in one school several children suffered minor injuries from broken glass. Well, the BBC's Daniel Sanford is in Moscow for us. Dan, you'll tell us more. It's pretty dramatic stuff.
Yes, absolutely extraordinary stories coming into Moscow now, right way from Kazakhstan and through the Ural Mountains in central Russia as well. And what people are describing is seeing a bright ball of fire flying through the sky, leaving behind a vapor trail, and then some time after that had passed overhead, hearing an incredibly loud bang. And it seems as if a meteorite, or maybe a series of meteorites, has flown through the sky very low in the daytime in clear skies, which has allowed people to see it flying overhead. Many of them become quite frightened, and what seems to have been a shockwave from this meteorite has blown out windows and left, as you say, 250 people injured. Five people have been hospitalized with bad cuts, and mostly from the broken glass that has fallen in as a result of what appears to have been a shockwave from this meteorite. The pictures, some of which we're able to show you, the rest of which we're trying to get rights for you to see, are absolutely extraordinary.
The only ones looking up and seeing meteors. There were two other apparent meteor sightings reported last night, one over Cuba, and then look at the upper right part of your screen. This image was captured in San Francisco. Neither of these other two meteors caused any injuries or damage. Joining us now for more on all this activity above Earth is Jeffrey Kluger, the science editor for Time Magazine. It is starting to feel like we've wandered into some sort of meteor blizzard. Has something actually changed?
Actually, it hasn't. The Earth has been playing in cosmic traffic for about 4.5 billion years. The fact is, we're hit by about 100 tons of space debris every day, and that includes at least one object the size of a basketball. And every 4 months, something comes in about as big as a Volkswagen.
Somewhere over the rainbow, bluebirds fly. And the dreams that you dream of, dreams really do come true. Ooh, someday you wish upon a star, wake up where the clouds are behind. Beware, trouble melts like lemon drops high above the chimney top. That's where you find me, oh, somewhere over the rainbow. Bluebirds fly, and the dream that you dare to, oh why can't I?
So with all this debris floating around, how carefully are we looking out for it?
Very carefully, actually. Since 1995, NASA has been charged by Congress with keeping a 24-hour day, 7-day-a-week watch on the skies, and they're doing this principally with three observatories in New Mexico, California, and Puerto Rico that have discovered about 98% of all the asteroids we know that are out there.
If they identify a potential threat, what can then be done by way of a defense system?
The Illudium Q36 Explosive Space Modulator.
Well, that's a real possibility. You don't want to destroy these things. They're too dangerous and that's too impractical. What you can do is deflect them. NASA has already perfected the art of landing on asteroids, orbiting asteroids, and we even fired an impactor into the side of a comet to study its debris. You could do the same impact model with an asteroid and just speed it up or slow it down by as little as a few centimeters a second. That way, when it arrives at Earth's orbit, we've already either passed by or haven't arrived at the rendezvous point yet.
Someday I wish upon a star, wake up where the clouds are far behind. Be where trouble melts like a lemon drops high above the chimney top. That's where you find me, oh star.
Watch a video with you here that's on this gentleman's page here that he put up. I'm not sure if he's the original person that created this. He very well may be, but I wanted to share it with you. It is really, really cool. You're going to see either a missile or a UFO strike that meteor that was in Russia.
You better pray to the Lord when you see those flying saucers. It may be the coming of the judgment day. It's a sign, there's no doubt, of the trouble that's about. So I say, my friends, you'd better start to pray. They're a terrifying sight as they fly on day and night. It's a warning that we'd better mend our ways. You'd better pray to the Lord when you see those flying saucers. It may be the coming of the judgment day.
See it coming in from the rear here, right here, the rear of the tail. There it is. Bam. Slammed it and then took off. And then it exploded. If you can believe what you just seen, but I'm going to back it up. We're going to watch this again. Okay, you can see right here where my mouse is at. See that object? That came in from the rear. Okay, this meteor is probably traveling 30,000 miles an hour. It's moving, okay, so fast that it's burning up in our atmosphere. Okay, so that is, you got to be traveling very fast. And it may even be faster than that. Something chased it down and blew it up.
The Illudium Pew-36 Explosive Space Modulator.
Many people think the saucers might be someone's foolish dream, or maybe they were sent down here from Mars. If you just stop and think, you'd realize just what it means. They're more than atom bombs or falling stars. And though the war may be true, there's unrest and trouble brewing, and just a sign that if peace doesn't come, it will be the end of some. So repent today, you're running out of time. When you see a saucer fly like a comet through the sky, you should realize the price you'll have to pay. You'd better pray to the Lord when you see those flying saucers. It may be the coming of the judgment day.
The chief of the Navy's nuclear research program, Dr. Erner Liddell, said today that the so-called flying saucers are nothing but plastic balloons used in cosmic ray research. And William Webster, chairman of the Research and Development Board, says there is nothing to flying saucers. Mr. Webster also told reporters, everybody knows there will be an atomic artillery shell someday.
Bo Obama receives visiting dignitaries from Uruguay. The nation would not be surprised at this point if Chris Brown allegedly traveled back in time and punched Anne Frank. And a local burger feels especially disgusting today. Here she comes, graceful, polite, and blessed with the unforgettable smile of a beautiful Southern belle. This is the Onion Week in Review. New immigration reform discussed this week in Congress would require immigrants to bring along two or three different ideas for fixing the U.S. economy before being allowed to enter. According to members of Congress sponsoring the bill, the law would make it illegal for outsiders to reside in the United States unless they've brainstormed at least a few solid ideas for kickstarting economic growth and spurring job creation. The Department of the Interior announced this week it was swindled out of $18 million in funding from a fast-talking con gopher. Officials say the slick rodent pleaded with them to write numerous checks over the span of a year, saying that the money would go towards his homeless family and starving gopher friends.
We should have known the whole thing was a setup when we went back to see how his gopher mound was coming along, and no one was there. The little bastard is probably on a flight to Aruba by now. He really had us going with those tears.
On a first date with area woman Pauline Geary earlier this week, smitten local man Brad Holtman told reporters he could not believe she was also a fan of the 1960s rock group The Beatles. Holtman told reporters that not only did Geary happen to own several of the band's albums that he also owned, but they apparently even enjoyed listening to many of the same Beatles songs.
We were just talking about music, and she mentioned that she liked The Beatles, which is crazy because I love The Beatles, actually. Get this, she said she loves Abbey Road. Here Comes the Sun is one of my favorite songs. And she said she even listens to Let It Be when she's stressed out. Just like I do.
In other news, a paranoid Syrian man thinks the government is out to get him.
Hush now. Don't explain. There ain't nothing to gain. explain. Quiet, baby, don't explain. There is nothing to gain.
Good evening. It's February 2013 with breaking news from the City of London. Author John Affleck has launched his latest book, The Peter Trial. The book names high-profile City of London bankers whose pedophile activities have been hidden from the public eye by corrupt detectives. Download the book from thepetertrial.com or follow the story on Twitter.
Skip that lipstick. Don't explain. You know that I love you and what love endures. All my thoughts are of you, for I'm so completely yours. Don't wanna hear folks chatter, 'cause I know you cheat. Right and wrong don't matter when you're with me, my sweet.
Welcome back. I am here with psychologist Wendy Walsh, my co-host this week. Now, warning about this upcoming conversation, this could be graphic and disturbing with sexual content, but it's important that we have to get into this material. Here it is. Several preschool children, I'm talking about 4 and 5 year olds, have alleged to have taken part in sex acts, oral sex with one another at a recess, during naps, and in a bathroom. Their school is closing for good on Friday. Wendy, I know you and I hear lots about child-on-child sexual abuse. It is much more common than people realize, but it is very problematic.
It's also important that we make the distinction between normal developmental sexual exploration between peers and something that seems to be a symptom of sexual abuse that's come from another adult source, perhaps.
Okay, so the way to understand this for people out there is if a child is showing, looking at anatomy, exploring, that's one thing. But when it becomes directed sexual behavior, that does not happen in children. Does not, unless an adult has introduced that, and sometimes other children can introduce that.
Hush now, don't explain. Don't you know you're my joy and you're my pain? My life is yours, love. Don't explain. Thoughts of you, for I'm so completely yours. I don't want to hear nobody chatter, 'cause I know you cheat. Right and wrong don't matter when you're with me, my sweet.
74-year-old evangelist Tony Alamo is facing a 10-count federal indictment that he took young girls across state lines for sex, and if convicted, he could spend the rest of his life behind bars. Thursday, an 18-year-old girl told jurors that Alamo married her when she was only 8 years old and began having sex with her a year later when she was in the third grade. She also testified that Alamo sexually assaulted her repeatedly until she escaped his religious compound 3 years ago. Earlier Thursday, jurors heard from a 25-year-old woman who said Alamo fondled her more than 10 years ago after the two exchanged vows at a federal prison where he was serving time for tax evasion. One day earlier, a third woman testified she was married to Alamo when she was 15 and later raised objections to Alamo taking an 8-year-old as his bride. Alamo's attorneys largely left sex and underage marriage claims unchallenged Thursday, but they questioned witnesses' memories and whether women had been coached by authorities. Alamo has pleaded not guilty to the charges.
Hush now, don't explain. You're my joy, you're my pain. My life is yours, love. Don't explain.
And we are fortunate enough now to have Mr. Tony Alamo joining us on the phone. Mr. Alamo, thanks so much for being with us, sir.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Prosecutors are saying that you are a polygamist who preyed on married women and girls in your congregation. That's what prosecutors have said on the record. What is your response to that?
Well, even if I was a polygamist, which I'm not, what would be wrong with that when the psalmist David, Moses, and Abraham, and Solomon, and Gideon, and all those top people in the Bible, you could read about them in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, that they were polygamists as well. And but
well, the Bible, sir, is a collection of stories. Some of them to be used literally when they involve God's word,
and some to be used
other ways. But there were also people who were stoned in the Bible. Or you think you have the right to do that now?
Don't tell me about the Bible, man. I'm a Jew. We wrote the Bible. Let me teach you.
Okay.
You don't know anything about the Bible. Okay.
All right,
friend. All right.
So you're saying the Bible gives you the right to have sex with girls?
I have the right to have sex with my wife. Is there any problem with that?
No, absolutely no problem with your wife.
Most people are homosexuals today, like the people at the Vatican and everything.
Yeah. Let's not go there, sir. But let's try and stick to the issue.
Let's go there. Come on now. Come on. You know there's a bunch of faggots over there, and nobody's prosecuting them.
I think most people would find that kind of language repugnant, and I would ask you not to use it anymore. Let's try and stick to the issues here, if we possibly can. Just for the record, they're saying for the record that you have possibly either promulgated or had sex with young girls at your particular facility. Is that true or not?
That is false.
Okay.
All right.
You told the Associated Press that you're not guilty, but then you went on to say that, according to you, the age of consent is puberty. Puberty.
Yeah,
what do you mean by that?
That's not according to me. That's according to Bible. That means when a woman is able to conceive and have a child, she is an adult, and she could be married. But we don't do that at our church. We never have.
Why would you be saying that then?
Well, because it's Bible. I have a right to preach the gospel, don't I? Okay?
Well, but here's the problem.
What kind of creep are you?
Puberty is as early as 8 years old. Are you saying that you would be for children, as young girls, as early as 8 years old having sex?
No, you're just trying to make me look that way. You're part of the government regime to try to destroy Christianity, and I didn't say that. I don't know when girls reach puberty. Most of them are around 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. God inseminated Mary at the age of around 10 to 12. Should we get him for having sex with a young girl?
Yes. Huh? As a matter of fact, sir, if you go by the law, and we are a nation of laws, we should. And the laws specifically state that you have to wait.
You're not a nation of laws. You are the Antichrist. You're the exact opposite of the law of God. The law of God is what you're going to be judged by and everybody else on this earth.
That's fine, sir. But let me just ask you, it's not only fine,
it's going to really happen. Okay?
Well, thank you, sir. But for the record, are you saying that girls under the age of 18 should be allowed to have sex?
I believe if they're married, that they could.
As young as what? As young as 8? As young as 10? As young as 12? Since that is in some cases.
Well, I'm not the one that sets the time. When they reach puberty, I wouldn't just recommend that any 8 or 10-year-old girl gets married. Because, but in the event that it would be of the Lord, I would say it's all right. But I don't do that. Okay, so let's get that straight. I'm talking to you from the Bible, what God said, and you're trying to make it look like I'm doing that. And that.
Then why were those children, do you have any idea why those 6 children were removed from your facility?
They were removed because they just want to make a big deal out of it. They haven't found anything about them. They can check them for 27 hours or 27 weeks or months or years, and they still will find out that they're virgins, all right?
Let me ask you another question. The Southern Poverty Law Center, which monitors the activities of extremist groups in the United States, describes your ministry as a cult.
Yeah.
How would you respond to that?
I respond that the Vatican is the cult. I'm very scriptural with the Bible. Anyone that is not scriptural with the Bible, such as yourself, are a cult. Okay? The Lord is right and everybody else is wrong.
There's someone named Anthony Justin Lane. Are you familiar with Anthony?
Oh, yeah. He's the one that had his wife working at a topless bar and was pimping her. And so...
Well, he's not here to defend himself, so let me just say what he has said on the record about you. He says that you kicked him out for asking too many questions about your ministry, and that you keep him from seeing his children who live in the compound with their mother. Are you keeping this man from his children, sir?
First of all, it's not a compound. It's a church. It's a facility. We have houses all over the place, and they live in a single family dwelling. And it's her husband that doesn't want him around because he had her working at a topless bar and also was pimping her. So it's the husband, not me. I don't care. You know, I don't know anything about that.
Mm. And Tony Alamo, you were convicted of tax-related charges in 1994 after the IRS said you owed them $7.9 million as a minister. What are we to make of that?
Well, I don't. You know, if you want to believe that garbage, that's up to you. But the IRS dropped all charges after they sent back all those debts to me. They know very good and well that they were liars. They hid the books on me, and they pulled a lot of people out of prison to testify falsely against me. Okay. And let's stick with the subject. The world government is the polygamous. They are the
yes.
Are also child molesters.
Okay.
And so is the school system. All
world government. Mr. Alamo, I want to thank you, sir, for taking time to join us here and give your point of view
Mr.
on this.
Mr. Chan-Chan, or whatever your name is.
If your limbs begin dissolving in the water that you tread, all surroundings are evolving in the stream that clears your head. Find yourself a caravan like Noah must have led. 4 and 20 birds of Maya baked into an atom you, polarized into existence magnet heart from red to blue, to such extent the realm of dark within the picture it seems true. All your lightning waits inside you, travel it along your spine. 7 stars receive your visit, 7 seals remain divine. 7 churches filled with spirit, treasure from the angel's mind. The space you make has your own laws, no longer human gods or cause. The center of this house will never die. One-eyed men aren't really reigning, they just march in place until 2-eyed men with mystery training finally feel the power fill. 3-eyed men are not complaining, they can yo-yo where they will. They slip inside this house as they pass by.
But let's listen for a moment or so to some of this audio clip between the news anchor and the reporter, and then it'll be followed by, if we can, by the FBI assistant director, who has his own axe to grind. Let's see.
Birds were recovered from this cabin where Dorner had holed up near Big Bear east of Los Angeles. We do not have ultimate forensic confirmation that it's Dorner, but the next best thing, police somewhat standing down, not completely, but somewhat. We also don't know how this cabin ended up catching fire. We do have some remarkable audio that was captured by one of the reporters who found himself right there in the middle of it all as it unfolded. You have got to hear this firefight. As for the fire, we do know that police used smoke bombs and that Dorner apparently did as well. Here is more from our LA affiliate KCAL and the reporter who was in the middle of that, Carter Evans.
It sounds like police officials were trying to move Carter out of the area to a safer area.
CNN's Miguel Marquez joins me now live from Big Bear. Those are pretty incredible words to hear. And I just want to repeat for those who may not have seen the words on the screen, burn it down, shoot the gas, get the gas, burn the gas, burn the gas, burn the gas, and a lot of other expletives as well. Miguel, this is getting a lot of traction and a lot of people are asking questions as to whether it's possible those deputies who responded to this may have intentionally burned Christopher Dorner inside that cabin. Whenever there's a tactical operation, we in the media are used to hearing, please lay off the live locations. Please take your helicopters away for your safety, for ours, and let us do our jobs without, you know, the suspect potentially being able to track our every move. And for that reason, many of us in the press were unable to witness exactly what happened in those last moments. But were there any people who did get a firsthand view of how that fire started?
Look, there was concern among law enforcement that Mr. Dorner may have been monitoring either television, radio, both, or even the internet. They believe his phone went on at one point. It is possible they had some communication with him inside that cabin. We don't know whether or not they actually did, whether there was any offer of surrender, whether or not he wanted to come out of that cabin at any point. He certainly has left zero indication that he did, and he clearly had a deep hatred for all law enforcement, no matter where they were. I do want to take you back a little bit, though, because the other thing going on here is that San Bernardino is retracing their steps on how all of this played out. You know, last Thursday, Mr. Dorner burned his truck on a forest road right in between the ski valleys here, and then around 12:30 yesterday afternoon, those two cleaning ladies discovered him in a house. That house is about a mile, maybe a mile and a half from where his truck was burned. It may be the case that he was in that house for several days, literally right under the nose of San Bernardino Sheriff's Office, and not until these two women came in to clean this house, he stole their car. That was shot up by fish and game officials. Then he stole the truck. Then he crashed that. Then he fled into the woods, into that cabin, shot and killed one of those deputies, injured another, and then you saw what happened yesterday afternoon. There are a lot of questions that need to be asked and answered.
now on the phone is CNN contributor and former FBI Assistant Director Tom Fuentes. Tom, you were one of the first people I thought of when I heard these terms that were being used. And I just want to go over this again so everyone is absolutely clear what was recorded from the officers who were responding at that ultimate location of the fire. Burn it down, shoot the gas, get the gas, burn the gas, burn the gas, burn the gas, burn the gas. Hey, hold it, get out, get the F out. I suspect that is the reporter who is being told by the officers to get out of the way of this very dangerous situation. Tom, is anyone founded if they think that this was an intentional burning alive of the suspect?
Good morning, Ashley. I don't know, you know, really how to respond to the recording.
Vanna tua mamma l'ingolia sotto a presta e poi restaria quando la notte osole scende, scende.
Basically, you hear the confusion, you hear the you hear almost panic on the part of whoever is talking on that microphone, and that's not normal in a SWAT operation. They're highly disciplined, highly professional. There's not going to be that kind of shouting and of course terminology, burn it down and things like that. So I just don't. It doesn't fit what I'm normally used to in an operation this difficult.
It doesn't fit. It doesn't fit the script. So we can change the script. What you just saw, what you heard, what you witnessed, you didn't really witness, you didn't really see, you didn't really hear. This is coming from somebody within the bowels of the government. Formerly in this government, from the top down, from the Justice Department, the FBI, right down to the local sheriffs, the local police, the SWAT teams involved in this murder. Let's face it, folks, by all the evidence that we have seen, firsthand physical evidence, that's why they didn't want the media to see it, because there might be some honest people asking honest questions. They were intent on killing Christopher Dorner from day one. Now, if they can do it to him, they can do it to you. And they will do it to you. They will do it to anybody and everybody they can get a hold of, that they can just drone in and search for and then execute you. We don't need trials anymore. Remember now, we're living in the post 9/11 world, the world of freedom and democracy, as George Bush would say. Freedom, democracy. These are the ideals that we fight for. That's why you don't need to be convicted. That's why we have the NDAA. We don't have to worry about convicting anybody. We'll send you through a FISA court, or we'll just be a court of justice, black justice. We'll carry it out on the spot if you pose a threat, not to the community, not to the state, not to the nation, but to us.
Oh!
no, absolutely no reason to suggest or believe, in my opinion, that this guy, Christopher Dorner, was going to harm anybody except certain police, if that is the case. And what went on between his problems that emanated from LAPD and what happened here, we don't even know one fraction of it. We are left in the dark, and that's why they want the case closed. Case closed, as CNN would say, okay? We don't want to allow truth to get in the way of our executions, my friend. This is the New World Order. This is the police state here at home. This is it.
The opposing point of view in this conflict rests on a fundamentally different vision of man. As a creature not of God, but of the state, in this system, the value of individual man diminishes sharply, and the state is all important. The state will run his life for him. What we oppose fundamentally is the aggressive nature of the state, its unceasing effort to expand wherever it can, to grow bigger, to take over, to supplant. This deadly impulse toward aggression we oppose as a continual threat to peace.
Conspiracy theories.
Did you say, was Adam, maybe something went wrong with him? Was he a normal kid?
I don't remember Adam, except when he was a child.
Reporters been asking around if anybody knows them on the block, and nobody knows them, which is odd for this neighborhood. It's very odd because a lot of people in this neighborhood know each other, and then if they don't know each other, they know of somebody.
And even someone we spoke to who lived just two doors down from the Lanzas said they had very little information about the family and didn't really know Adam Lanza.
What's so interesting, Wolf, is that about 3 years ago, back in 2009, that's really the last time we have any hard record of any classes he took, any courses he was enrolled in. After that, right at the time that the divorce was finalized, it seems that Adam Lanza simply fell off the face of the earth. There is no record of anything that he did, what he may have accomplished, who he met with. We've had a very difficult time even finding friends who knew him from the period 2009 on. So he existed, but he existed in a world that really nobody knows about, Wolf.
A lot of people have things to hide.
But you know what's so crazy about Adam Lanza is he appears to have fallen off the grid. There are basically 3 years that are unaccounted for. The last time there's any record of him was back in 2009 when he was a student at a local university here, and he was taking several classes there. But after that, 2009, he just sort of falls away. So nobody really knows or understands what he was doing over the last couple of years.
I think he misremembers.
On the 13th of December, Adam Lanza went to the school, a couple of officials have told us, and got in some kind of altercation, is the word that they use, between him and four other staff members. Now, they say that of the four staff members that he got into an argument with, three were killed in yesterday's shooting.
And I want to ask you something that Pete Williams, our Pete Williams, reported first on Saturday. He said there had been some kind of an altercation at Sandy Hook Elementary School the day before the shootings, and that it was believed Adam Lanza might have been involved in that altercation with up to four teachers or administrators. Can you shed any light on that?
That's been spoken about a great deal during the number of press conferences that we've had. And we've been able to look at that and find out that there was no report of any altercation involving the shooter, the suspect, if you will, at all at that facility.
This confusion belongs to you. It's your confusion. I don't have any confusion.
Adam Lanza destroyed his computers before he drove to Sandy Hook Elementary School on Friday.
Investigators say the Newtown gunman did such a thorough job, the FBI has been unable to retrieve any information from those computers.
Look at his intent to destroy those drives. What does your gut tell you was on his computer?
Obviously, incriminating evidence without a question.
Reports say the hard drive was smashed to bits.
So what's interesting to me, too, is that Adam Lanza, there's something on these hard drives that he wanted
to
destroy. He was either keeping some records, some diary, files about himself, though. So that's part of this unlocking this mystery of why he did what he did.
And there's an ongoing attempt to try to uncover that.
That's right.
I call that the ultimate bridge to nowhere.
Look at what is actually being done. Look at the amazing what technology has brought to the lying part of television. Now, Tell me what you have actually seen of Sandy Hook. We have not seen blown out windows. We have not seen dead bodies. Not seen anything. I have seen, you know, in fact, what we've heard is the parents haven't even seen the bodies. And then, oh, they were taken away in the middle of the night in a refrigerated van. Are you effing kidding me?
All right, but you're never going to get the media to be honest.
But I will say one thing that kind of bothers me, which is that there has been not one eyewitness account that I've heard of anyone seeing this guy shooting anyone or shooting around. Even when they're, I mean, he apparently killed everyone who laid eyes on him before he killed himself. And I don't even know that it was him that did any of it. I mean, they could bring a dead guy in there. Some paid assassin could come and shoot up a bunch of people or not. I mean, has anyone said, yeah, he came in wearing, you know, said, first there was a report he was wearing a mask. I don't know why, but okay, he was wearing a mask. So we don't even know who it was, actually, if you got a mask on. Could have been anyone. And then has anyone said, yeah, and he started firing around, I had to duck, you know, he shot so-and-so, or, I mean, has there been one eyewitness report of him,
no,
anyone
John,
seeing him actually shooting
no,
a gun?
No, there has been nothing. We've seen journalists trolling online to try and get a hold of people. We have not seen this. We started this show off with this dad, and I have shown this to actors, and the actors all say to me, wow, that if that was really an act, then that guy is really, really, really good. And people do respond very strangely in certain types of environments of severe stress. But again, all I'm seeing. I don't know where he's standing. I see a brick wall. I see some dudes. Please do not forget, you saw nothing. You saw television. You saw nothing. So believe what you will, but please, you did not see anything with your own two eyes, and I have been on the other side of that box too much with some very so-called innocent stuff. Week in, week out, I made trickery. So you did not see anything. And the discussion is not about the guy they arrested in the woods, you know, all these other things. Why is no one asking any questions about that? All it is about guns and medication and the internet is bad. And to me, it literally is no different. I didn't see it. I just can't tell you. From where I'm coming from my personal perspective, I don't know. Please at least show me the shot out building. Please. They show pictures with shadows that can only be very early in the morning or very late at night, not at 11 o'clock. They were surrounding the kid's home at 9:15 before this even happened. I mean, there's so many discrepancies. So much is wrong. And then, oh, by the way, anyone who says anything on the internet, shut up, slave. We're going to arrest you. We're going to prosecute you because you're spreading disinformation. I don't know what happened. I don't know why this happened. I don't know if anything happened. But as far as I'm concerned, it's all media magic.
Remain calm. All is well. All is well.
I know you probably thought the number one thing we subsidized in the United States was man tits, but no, that's number two. The number one thing is ignorance. Think about it. Climate change causes massive drought. We then use our tax dollars to subsidize food so that we don't see the effects of that drought. By doing this, we subsidize our ignorance of the harm of climate change. Most of us don't understand the economy, so Wall Street is allowed to caress it, molest it, and digest it, and then run off with bags of money. Our tax dollars are then used to save these f***ing Armani-clad poop farmers when they can't pay their debts. So everything keeps going, and we've allowed ourselves to remain blind. We've subsidized our ignorance. Running out of cheap oil, we begin fracking the f***ing frack out of every square foot of the country. What are the consequences? I don't know. You don't know. But we don't need to know. Sure, there are reports of earthquakes and tap water that's now more combustible than Alex Jones sucking helium in a room filled with the parents of Sandy Hook students. But I've never seen any water catch fire. And at the end of the day, we can run our cars and heat our homes for way cheaper than on the other side of the pond. We've subsidized our ability to ignore reality. Running out of cheap coal? Then just subsidize mountaintop removal in the tar sands pipeline, or at least don't do the proper regulating and testing to find out what the harm is to the ecosystem and whether those mountains will actually grow back like we're told. Running out of intelligentsia? Ship them in from India. Running out of shrimp? Ship them from China. Running out of space to put our garbage? Ship it to people somewhere who would be happy to have our garbage. I mean, that garbage is probably filled with amazing shit, like clothes that were worn once and iPods that were thrown out because the color fuchsia isn't popular anymore, and perfectly edible underwear that's only missing the crotch section. Sure, you'll have to dig through 500 DVD box sets of the Twilight movies before you get to the good stuff, but it'll be in there. In the big spaceship that is planet Earth, the United States is paying a bukkake load of money to sit in first class so that we don't have to see the festering insanity going on back in coach. Most of this country is the Truman Show. Sure, things aren't great for a lot of people, but in many ways, we are blissfully ignorant. We're mindfully innocent, mentally negligent, and unknowingly indigent. We pay to maintain our ignorance. We subsidize our closed eyes. But I'm thinking about getting a little work done, so at least they'll be, like, young, hot closed eyes.
But don't worry, we're all going to be living on nothing soon enough. And, you know, with a little bit of help from our friends, maybe, just maybe, I don't know. I have no idea.
Since I've been calling, I haven't written a lyric. I mean, why should I when I can call upon spirits with rhythms and flows that dance like Africans who slaved on rubber plantations in the Belgian Congo, whose souls blaze more brilliant than Leopold's, and even tonight as new graves grow cold and chlorofluorocarbons warm up the globe, they live like that deep-ass John Carpenter flick. I mean, can we agree that the Orisha still permeates Santeria? Can we agree that Vordone has made itself at home in the Catholic Church? And if so, then when you see me amongst the leaves, don't think that I'm praying to the trees. I am praying through the trees, just like this poetry is now playing through me. I am a vessel, but unlike the good ship Jesus, I float in a direction in which the actual Son of Man teaches. See, death is like a prison full of souls that had to surrender. But the inmates can do things for you on the outside if you help to propagate their agenda. And tree roots, constellations, rivers, and streams, these are the evidence of things not seen. Think the Haitian Revolution was just Toussaint and Dessalines? No, no, that was the evidence of things not seen. They say superstition is the name that the ignorant give to their ignorance. And there must be a lot of superstition going around because cash has a spiritual significance with pyramids and acacia trees and signs and symbols of deities taken from our Kibbalah libraries and now permanently stored in the Vatican. And who am I? I be your operator, patching you into the infinite. If sex was death, we would be infinite, yet never reaching a climax, counting millenniums like days, intertwining my destiny with the stars like runaway slaves. You can trace my existence through drawings on caves, yet we submit to the same God. My job's to make you conscious of your subconscious, bring you to a new transdance every time your mind gets aligned with parallel galaxies that the Pharisees could barely see. Prepare to be taken to your ultimate destiny, where your test will be to call me.
Now, go find the others. .com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.